Hi everyone, and welcome back to Style and Sustain, the podcast. I have missed you all, but I'm so excited to share this brilliant interview episode with Mandé Mori. Mandé is an entrepreneur based in Senegal, and he's one of the founders of Africa's first ever secondhand shopping app called Donkafele. But beyond being kind of like a simple Depop or Vinted, and no shade to those apps, we love them, I love them, I've talked about them so many times on this podcast. What makes Donkafele special is that it aims to create jobs for young creatives struggling to find employment after university, especially in the city of Dakar in Senegal. It's a way to allow them to connect to a community of creatives in multiple industries online and also in real life. I really loved talking to Mandé because it was never just about fashion for him. He saw a problem, which is the lack of employment for the youth in Dakar, and he created a solution. And that is what most great entrepreneurs do. But what I found most inspiring to see was his heart for creating opportunities that make a difference in the everyday life of African youths while digitizing and preserving cultural sustainability. I'm personally so excited about this application, and I think it's going to become an incredible space as it grows in Dakar. And I really do see it growing beyond Senegal, going into West Africa, and hopefully going into the rest of Africa. It's an exciting opportunity for the digitization of cultural sustainability across the African continent. But I won't say any more. Let's dive into the episode. I'm so excited for you to hear it. Hi, Mandé. How are you?
Hey, Emma. I'm doing fine. What about you? How are you doing?
Good. Thank you so much for joining me for the podcast. You know, I was just saying earlier, we've had lots of conversations in the past, but never really got the chance to sit down properly and dig into your incredible work with Donkafele. So I'm excited to get to know more of what you do and share that with my audience. And I would love for us to start with a simple introduction. So could you tell us a bit about yourself? Who are you? What are your passions? And I like to ask people like what they feel like life has taught them so far. I know it's a deep question, but I always get really interesting answers.
Sure. Thank you so much for having me for this podcast. And I've been, this is actually my first time to be interviewed and to be a part of like something like this. But talking about myself, my complete name is Mohamed Mandé Moriba. I don't know where the Mohamed came from. Probably my parent wanted to kind of have Muslim kind of name in, among all of these first name, but yeah, I'm from Guinea and I born and raised in Guinea, and now I'm based in Senegal since 2009, I guess. I just came in Senegal for my study, and I'm mostly, you know, with my background, I think I change a lot, like, because I worked in civil industry. Mostly I started with the journalism, and then I was a bit upset about all of these, restrictions that we have as journalists in Senegal, and the fact that you cannot really make progress as, you know, it was not something that I was seeing myself, you know, my career path in. So I changed the journalism to something that is more interesting for me, which is creativity sector. So when I say creativity sector, it's something that I'm currently doing as a designer, mostly a strategy designer. It is actually my background as a professional. So I've been doing this specific job since 2014. Now it's been 10 years that I'm doing this specific job. And yeah, something that I really liked doing this job is the fact that I'm always in touch with people, with human, and this is something that I'm really passionate about, like just human being, and also you know, sustainable lifestyle and so on. And being a designer allowed me to have like just the ability to discover myself in another kind of like just with another, just have another understanding of my own my personality and so on. Mm. Because when you're speaking with people, when you're asking people some specific question, it allows you also to kind of, introspect and also have another view of yourself and, you know, your surrounding, your community and so on. So, yeah.
Mm. Yeah. And you mentioned a bit about sustainability and a bit about design. Can you tell us, how those two things are linked within your work? Of course, we're here to talk about Don Cafele. So feel free to kind of elaborate how like that sustainability and design comes together within that world.
Actually, I discovered the term or the sustainability world like in 2014, actually, when I started doing design and so on. And I knew that I was very passionate about creativity and so on. But creativity itself, or maybe just creativity standing alone, when you take just the creativity alone, is not something that is, you can just keep creating things without necessarily thinking about how these creation will affect, for example, people that you are creating, for people that we are creating these things, right? And I was in a position where using my creativity to create things that I'm creating needed for me to be able to kind of create something that will really solve people problem and so on. When I say people problem, an issue that I have in my community is not about just creating, but it's about creating something that lasts, something that could really solve people issue and so on. And I discovered the term sustainability, because sustainability mean that you are making something that will last and that people can also be independent to use it, because you can create something that you are the only person who is capable of manipulating these things, etc. And in my case, in my creative process, I have to include that I might not be the one who is using this product or maybe this solution and so on. I may include the fact that another person should use this when I'm not here anymore and so on. So all of these things are combined together, make you, force you to include the sustainability into your creative process. This is how creativity and how can design and sustainability come together in my case.
Yeah. And I think I want to clarify, because this is kind of a fashion platform, that when you say design, people might think you're designing clothes, but you're talking about, you're talking about a kind of digital design. You're talking, of course, about like designing an app, which is what you've done with Don Cafele. So I just wanted to clarify that. And speaking on that, can we, tell us.
It's a bit of digital design, but mostly strategic design. But yeah, when you see design, people will think a lot of like just mostly about fashion design and also those kind of visual design. But in my case, it was mostly strategic design. It was mostly research and so on. But it's include the final output. Usually, are this can be services. It can be a digital product. It can be even like just simple recommendation and so on. But yeah. We just use the process that we use to create, process that we use to create those things. We call it like just a design process.
Of course. That makes sense. I think that's a good way to. Yeah, but you've ended up creating an app called Don Cafele that is actually about fashion. So you still tied in with the whole, we've come full circle with the fashion elements, but can you talk about the app and how you ended up creating it and why you found that there was a need to create something like this?
Thanks. Actually, when I started Don Cafele in 2016. And when I started Don Cafele, it was, for me, in 2016, if you told me that, okay, more than 5 years from now, where are you seeing Don Cafele? I will never tell you that. I want to create an app, actually. the time I just wanted to solve a specific problem that I just discovered in my company with my colleagues looking for like nice stuff that I thought are more kind of like that are accessible and affordable and something like that. And the fact that I'm used to going into secondhand market and buying my stuff and so on, I was like, you know what, maybe I can just buy some stuff there and come back to my office and then resell those stuff. And it is where Don Cafili started. And Don Cafili actually mean in my mother tongue, kind of thrift, I would say. Or literally it's mean come and check out if you, for example, people in the market, in the second-hand market, and in Guinea, for example, people in the second-hand market, they usually take the clothes and ask people to come and see and come, just come and check out. If it fits you, you can keep it. If it doesn't fit you, as you know, second-hand clothes is always like that, so you can leave it. Mm. And I just went with this name because it was so common in Guinea and so clear when it's come to kind of write it down, etc. So I kept the name and I just decided to go with this and I created a website. And so from 2016 to 2019 or 2020, actually, we, with a friend of mine, we're just going to the market and sort free kind of thrifts and then come to our website and try to kind of like give them some peps and so on. And then post on our website. We were actually the first kind of like young people doing this online because people were not really seeing themselves buying secondhand stuff online because it's so new here. And yeah, that's how Don Cafili started.
Mm-hmm.
And as we're moving forward from 2016 to 2020, a lot of people were asking us, you know what, I also have a lot of stuff in my kind of wardrobe and I wanted to kind of like just sell them online. And can you, they were asking us to kind of do the job for them and so on. And I was like, oh my God, you know, it's a lot of work to kind of sort all of these things. And sometimes, you know, people will give you the stuff and you don't know exactly what to do. You don't know something what to do with those things because they might not really fit to your audience because some stuff are not really in a good shape, in a good condition. You have to figure all of these things out and the operation is quite high. And at the time, we were not making a lot of money out of this business actually. So we are just trying to do our best. And the idea of the app came in 2020 because people were asking us to kind of be able to sell that stuff on our platform. And we've decided to kind of like you see the way that we can scale up our business without necessarily being, you know, overwhelmed by all of these operational things that is, you know, going to the market, sorting the trip, come back and trying to put them in a good shape and then also delivering them, etc. All of these things were super crazy for us. And we ended up like just creating an app that will allow people to do the same thing like us. So we have our shop, but people also can open, use the app to open their shop and sell their stuff. So that we are all,
Yeah, I love that. I love that. It seems like people were not aware that it's something they needed or wanted. But once you created it and you created a space, people suddenly like, oh, wait, this is something that we can use as well. And I think, I want to understand a little bit, what is the landscape, the fashion world or landscape in Senegal? I know it's similar to a lot of African countries or West African countries, at least, where there's a lot of secondhand coming in. People, there's huge secondhand markets. People go there, they buy. It's a whole economy, but it's also creating waste and a lot of issues. And I love your work because it's literally the first kind of secondhand app in Africa, which is incredible, honestly. So I wanted to understand, like, what's the landscape there? And how did you feel people welcomed this idea? You've talked about it a little bit, but what's the mindset around secondhand?
Yeah, just to give you a sense of how it looks like when we started in 2016. Mm. Less you can like just count on your finger how many people are just selling secondhand stuff online, just to give you an idea. But now today, 10 years from 2016 or maybe 17. Now we have a bunch of people, even like just on our app, we have a bunch of people doing the same business as we're doing in 2016. Just to give you a sense of the interest people to kind of just do the business in fashion, to do the fashion business. When I say those people, when I mention those people, they are mostly students, like just trying to make some extra cash by just selling secondhand clothes, and the fact that also they are passionate, or maybe they are passionate about fashion and they just want to be in a space, you know what I mean? So just to give you a sense of, and since 2014, actually, we've noticed a boom of fashion in Senegal, and many, many young entrepreneurs launched their own fashion brand. And today we have more than like just 500, just in Dakar, we have more than 500 young entrepreneurs with their own brand, etc. Mostly small brand and so on, just in Dakar, more than 500, like just 500 is barely the lowest. Yeah. and then count in Senegal, we have a lot. And now recently, big name start having some interest in Senegalese fashion scene. We saw, for example, Chanel coming here to kind of like just get some inspiration from Senegalese fashion scene. And we have more and more fashion show with young entrepreneurs. And we have some we even have a dedicated school in Senegal dedicated to fashion and sustainable fashion and so on. So just to give you a sense of how fashion is really embracing this this city, and how people are trying to kind of like find their way to kind of, you know, really move forward. And also from this year, 2014 to now, we saw a lot of like, you know, in terms of when it's come to standard and quality, also we see a lot of improvement from how people, for example, we set the standard. That's what I want to say, we set the standard. And someone who is launching his brand today, he already knows what is happening on the market and how I want my brand to look like, because Senegalese, you know, how can I say that, former fashion designer already set the standard, and it's helped me to kind of like see exactly how my brand should look like when it's come to branding, when it's come to marketing, when it's come to the quality of raw materials, et cetera, et cetera. So, and we also have a lot of local platform now supporting fashion designer when it's come to kind of like just sell online and so on, like Dom Café doing today with creators, etc. Now coming to talking about just to give you a sense of how fashion is just booming in Senegal, and it's quite absolutely the same thing as in Cote d'Ivoire, in Ghana, in Nigeria, and so on, even in Guinea, my home country. Now to give you a sense about thrift and secondhand clothes, which is something that I'm more interested about, and you know, has any of those countries, we do have like just the positive impact of that, and also we have like the negative impact. And one of the positive impacts could be, for example, that people can quickly find affordable clothing, for example, by going into secondhand market and find nice stuff and so on, which is super cool. And but also we are in a country where job is quite hard to get. Your first job here is quite hard, and a lot of young people to get their first job and also to make some extra cash with this informal economy itself, which contributes at some point, you know, into the job market. So, because you don't need actually any qualification to start making, you know, money with thrift shop, etc., which is positive at some point because we are in Africa. And when it's come to the negative side of that, we see that secondhand clothes in our usually local industry, mostly the local market, you know, have a lot of like they suffer a lot with the secondhand market because it literally destroyed their ability to convince local consumer or local audience to buy the stuff, etc., and so on. So it is probably one of the negative impact of that. But we also know something that we also know is that it's we also notice some environmental concern with the secondhand clothes here in Senegal, but it's not as we can see in Ghana with Kantamato or maybe in those big city. But we also have our side of things, and it's not as that because the market is not as huge as we can see in Ghana, and so. But we do have some environmental concern with this.
Of course.
It's gonna close. Yeah.
I think it's great that the platform has become a source of creativity and, you know, obviously employment creation. I'm wondering around like what types of creatives you have on the app, I guess. And you know, we were talking about there's a loss of some of the local I guess craftsmanship and traditions around textile, etc. But I wonder if these new creatives are maybe finding ways to merge, you know, the Western and then their traditional wear, for example. Yeah, like what kind of creatives do you have? And obviously they're students, so I can imagine they're very creative and there's a lot of things they want to do when it comes to textile. But yeah, I'm curious around that.
You know, being student just take three years, you know. After 3 years, you're not student anymore. So
it goes quickly. You have to start doing something.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and
actually,
on Don Cafe, when we started with the platform, the idea, something that we discovered out, well, as you're doing this secondhand business, you start like just feeling that you have that feeling that you can create something from secondhand stuff, actually. And before I jump into that, I wanted to clarify something. For example, our platform is not like Vinted or maybe Depop, where you can like just jump onto the platform and start quickly selling your stuff and so on. We started with this model, but it was very difficult for us to kind of create our platform. We wanted something that is very curated and something that could help people quickly get what we are trying to, our mission actually with this platform, So, and we've decided to kind of stop just, you know, we just block the possibility for people to kind of quickly jump in and start selling on the platform. Now, if you want to sell on the platform, you have to send a request, and then when we finish analyzing, you have to apply for that, and then we can allow you to buy or maybe how can it or not to sell on the platform and so on. So something that we discovered, those who started like just selling secondhand clothes on our platform, we discovered that they also wanted to move from being a secondhand seller to a creator, an independent creator, like just by setting up their brand and so on. We're like, okay, what Don Cafe can do for those creators? And we talked about a process, example of where they can include the sustainability into their process and thinking of the best way to make clothes or maybe stuff that that are environmentally friendly and so on. But when you talk about those things in Africa or mostly in Senegal, people will tell you, you know, we are not the we are not the country which are making the big impact. This is something that you have to tell to Western people and so on. So we can continue to kind of waste or, you know, to do all of those stuff. But I have a lot of like just difficulty speaking with creators to kind of include sustainability or maybe they just of think course, about it when they are making cloud. Now, Don Cafe is the platform that will help people. You know, we will definitely keep secondhand clothes on our platform. And for people who want to make transition between secondhand clothes to their own brand, we want them to understand that they can keep doing the same, keeping the same value as they are with the secondhand stuff to include or maybe to implement those value into their into their journey as a creators and so on. So we try to document all of that and see how this can be a sort of like we can systematize that and help these new creators to kind of like just do the stuff. So on our platform, these are the type of creator that we are trying to onboard on our platform. These are small creators. They are more open to kind of they are more open to all of these issues around the world, and they are also, you know, eager to learn more about what we are trying to do. It takes time, but it's necessary for us. It's necessary. It's mandatory, even.
Of course. I think this is a great research ground on language and narratives and how to approach something in a different way depending on where you are, because it's easy, you know. I think obviously the westernization and the language around sustainability and all of that is very, it's very alienating, you know. It's not for everyone. Not everyone wants to do things in that way, but I think the, you know, what's great is that you have a ground of research where you can look into, okay, this is my community, this is my locality, how would they do this in their own way, using their own language, using their own tools, without it being a label, without it being, you know, this is what you have to do. And I think that's that's fascinating. Yeah, I think that's gonna breed a lot of data around what it means to be quote unquote eco-friendly in Africa. I love that aspect of it. You also have something called the DKFLR, which is an event that you want to put in place to get people together. I imagine it's at the beginning and you're still working on it. But I would love to understand your idea around that and what you hope to achieve with that.
The first time we organized was in 2019, actually, the first type of this event. And but it was like very test kind of version of this, the event, the way that I shaped this year. And the idea behind was, you know, you were talking about this fashion, the issue around creators and trying to kind of be the guy who is giving the lesson to people, like, just you have to change your habit, your way of doing things, etc. So I just discovered that Dunkafili can go beyond fashion, it's important for us to go beyond fashion. And it is actually what we're doing, even like, you know, in the past few years. And the idea is, going beyond fashion is not a problem for us, because people who are buying, for example, fashion stuff are the same who are, you know, listening the same music that you're listening, eating the same food, and maybe going to the same gallery and so on. And we are like just thinking about how can we investigate all of this space to make sure, how can we bring all of this space together and make sure that at least our audience is really understanding what we're trying to say. And all the topic that we are looking to talk about during this event are the topic that we chosen on purpose to make sure that at least we can infuse into all of these specific topic what is what Dunkafili is really standing for, actually. So this event is just an event that we thought could help people. We are in a market, in a very and really fragmented market, where people are doing their stuff here and here and separately. Yeah. And sometimes we don't know exactly what the goal and where we are looking at, actually. And when you analyze, when you deeply analyze, we see that we are all trying to solve the same problem. We are all facing the same issue. And so when you talk with musician, artists, when you talk with fashion designer, when you talk with, you know, actress or maybe actress or something, like in cinema, in music, in even in tech, in agriculture, and so on, we are all facing the same issue. And we are trying to solve the same problem that we as a consumer, we are facing, you know. So this event meant to bring people together from different backgrounds and talk about our own issue. And conference is actually the foundation of this event. We tried to make the conference the foundation of this, and then add some additional things like festival, exhibition, and also award to make the conference, to make the event a bit more exciting.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, the best way around this is always community, isn't it? I think you're right. I think sometimes we don't realize that we're all working towards the same thing. And it, you know, we just need to all be put into a space, and then you realize, oh, okay, actually I can help you and you can help me, and we can actually create something together. So I love that it's going beyond the whole, just the creative fashion world, and actually trying to create a cultural, an open cultural space for young people to kind of step into their creative power. So yeah, really looking forward to when the next one of that would be.
Yeah, and it is in November 2024.
Oh, nice. This year. Amazing. That's really cool. And you're also looking, again, I think this is you guys going bigger than the app and bigger than fashion, etc. There's an element that's called Don Café Le Changemaker Fund, which I guess it's kind of the monetary aspect of this. You talk about students getting out of school, struggling, you know, trying to find jobs, trying to do something for themselves. Why did you feel the need to do that? And what is the goal behind this as a support for these creatives?
The first day we set the app, the idea was, how can we make this app more impactful than beyond just making money out of this? And we started, like, in our DNA, we are always like looking the best way to kind of use our money and also help people who need those help and so on. And the Changemaker Fund is actually linked to the event and also Don Café Le Actions. And this event, the idea is, how can we better use the money that we're making out of this event? Because people will put their money in by buying some badges, etc. And the idea is to put 30% of this money in the Changemaker Fund that we're going to use to finance or maybe to support initiatives that we come to our radar and see how those initiatives could have more impact, because we can be Don Café Le and probably think that we have all the solution in our mind, but that is not the case. There's other people who can have idea, and those idea might not probably get support that they need to kind of develop or something like that. And the Changemaker Fund is an open fund that is not really managed by Don Café Le. It's managed by a crowd of different people from different backgrounds, so that we can use those funds that we build from the money that we're making from our business. Don Café Le will put some money in, and also from the event itself, and use this money to finance or to support initiatives that come to our radar and that we think these initiatives will really impact ecosystem if we finance them.
I love how you're kind of looking beyond the app and everything. And this is much bigger than, just a Vinted or a Depop, because it's taking into account the unique needs of the community you're in and the people you're serving. So I'm wondering, what is your vision for the future? Obviously, you have a lot of projects planned, but do you see this going beyond Dakar? Like, how do you see this growing? I feel like you're an in-the-moment person, but I'm going to challenge you with telling us a bit about how you see this growing.
sure. But I think, you know, I just stopped being this kind of in the moment person, but we do have a plan, and we started.
Yeah.
We started, but it's great to highlight that, because I was that kind of person, and, you know, maybe 1 or 2 years ago, and I've decided to switch, because today the platform, we discovered that we made a lot of challenges, like just developing the platform. Making a platform is not like just having a website like this. You know, we developed all of these things from scratch. And the idea is, how can we put platform, talking about the app itself, because this is actually the core of our business. And we are trying now to go beyond just an app that allows people to buy and sell. Now we are looking in a sort of if you can qualify it as an operating system for e-commerce in Africa, but mostly oriented to sustainability, and how can we help those small creators, those small business owners to quickly jump on internet and digital, like just a landscape, you know, ecosystem without necessarily struggling about which platform I should choose to kind of develop my business. Just to give you a sense of, for someone who is in Senegal, for example, to sell something in Rwanda or maybe in Cote d'Ivoire or in Ghana is quite difficult. They don't even know how or where to start their business when it's come to expand our business and you know, outside the country and something like that. So the idea for the Cafe Day is to create a simple tool, a simple platform, but very powerful, that could really help someone who wants, for example, to set the business in Rwanda, to get the sense of the Rwandan market with qualitative data so that they can launch their business. Even though we are also pushing people to keep their business local, because it's also part of our mission and our vision and so on. But when it's come to scale, or maybe when it's come to kind of like just make your brand well known abroad, it's very important to kind of get the data that you need and also the logistic that you need to do that. So Dunkafile is kind of seeing itself maybe 3 years from now, or maybe 5 years from now, with a platform that is very strong and powerful in the end of those small creators, has, you know, has a tool to kind of like just scale their business and so on. It's something that we're currently working on. And now, beside that, we have this event that we're starting, that we want to be a sort of like just an annual meeting for Dunkafile, where we bring people together and share all of these powerful and mission that we are in and so on. So these are the two things that we are focused on for the next 5 years. 10 years, I don't know yet, but for next 5 years, these are the things that we are focused on.
5 years is good. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that. And thank you for joining on the podcast as well. I'm truly excited to see how this is going to grow and expand. I've always believed in it. I was, you know, immediately when we started talking, I was like, this is going to be something that, like you said, is going to provide data and actual research around how people can interact with creativity and culture and sustainability in Africa. So I'm really excited to see it grow more, and I can't wait for it to expand and also get into other countries potentially. So thank you so much for joining me. I'm excited to share this with my audience, and good luck. I can see it growing really well.
Thank you so much, and I would send you an invite.
Yes, please do.
I hope you enjoyed that episode. I am so excited about Mandé's work and everything that he's going to be organizing in Dakar, and I honestly plan to be there. If you want to support, follow, and just find out more about what they do, you can visit their website, donkafile.com. So donkafele.com. I'll also put it in the episode notes, and you can also follow them on Instagram under the same name. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time. Bye.